You're listening to The Game Sports Show, powered by The Game Entertainment and Media, a commercial-free upload edition of the show. The edition you are about to tune into features local, regional, and national sports news. GEM and The Game uploads are brought to you by Compass Imaging Group, Demansky Office Interiors, Northern Superior Brewing Company, Sports Center Bar and Grill, North Shore Sports and Auto, Northern Critters in Need, Thresh Creative Co., and ESPN 1400. Now let's get to David McKay Jr., Scott Nason, and the rest of the panel inside The Game Sports Show studio.
Booyah, and it's time for The Game Sports Show, powered by The Game Entertainment and Media, GEM for short, along with TheGameSportsShow.com. You're currently listening to The Game through one of the many media platforms, including Spotify, Apple, Podbean, or Podtail podcasts, or social media platforms such as Facebook, Instagram, or through, of course, our website. Now, getting to the panel joining The Game tonight, I'm going to go to the one and only Scott Nason in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Scott, how are you?
Dave, I'm doing wonderful. Great to be back on your show after a little bit of a hiatus. The sports are coming back. Baseball's playing. NBA, NHL starts in a week. Maybe football. Ready to talk about it. Thanks for having me on.
Definitely very happy you're able to join us. You can hear Scott on our Monday edition of The Game Sports Show through ESPN 1400. Now going to basically the second most senior on the crew, and I think one of the panel members, you might think that he's second, but going to Justin Heichel. How are you, Justin?
Oh, it's good to be back, Dave. It's, you know, some people might be, it's tough to hear this, but it's good to hear your voice.
Definitely. You know what? I feel like a lot of people don't believe you when you say it, but you and I haven't had a show here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario through our Sault Ontario editions. You can definitely hear Scott and all of our special editions that we've been doing through, I guess, this change of world. But our last edition was back in March at Northern Superior Brewing Company, and it's definitely been way too long. Now, going to somebody that I do talk to once a week, and I get the joy of talking to once a week, and somebody who got on the show in terms of opening his mouth at a bar, if you will, EJ Russell. EJ, how's it going?
Yo, what's up, brother? Happy to be here. Excited to talk with you guys, as always.
Definitely. Now, going to, I guess, the least senior on the panel, if you will, but he's definitely, I'm sorry to say this, guys, probably the best looking on the panel. The one only Connor Henderson. Connor, how's it going, pal?
Dave, I already don't flatter agree
with this. Me. Oh, it's you look like the rookie of the year guy. I've said that all the time. I always forget his name at the top of my head, but.
Well, it's good to be back, and I hope everybody's staying safe. So I'm ready for a good show tonight.
Definitely. We got loads to get to within this hour to cram in. And yes, I said 1 hour. That is how long we are going to be doing this show here tonight. We got a panel of five. We had a couple that could not make it, but there's still a lot that we are going to get to. And let's get it all started with the exciting news of the Seattle Kraken, which was predicted back in February by first Dane Hancho, and he made sure, and that's one of our panel members, if you don't remember who Dane is, he's been one of the original OGs, if you will, of the show since the beginning of The Game Sports Show. He actually predicted Kraken first. I followed suit, and there it is. The Seattle Kraken is what they will be naming themselves when they get into the league in the National Hockey League. So now that we know the name, The Game Sports Show had an upload on their social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram, where what would the mascot be and what would the mascot's name be? And obviously, if you've read that upload, you would see that we predicted an octopus. And I know Scott might jump in and say, well, we already have an octopus, and that's in Detroit. I think they might have to share. But I said the name would be Davy Jones. That was the name that I went with that I thought the Seattle Kraken would go with for their mascot. Let's go around the table, talk about Seattle, their logo, and also jump in on this mascot discussion. I'm going to go to Scott first.
Well, as far as the name, and you guys are well ahead of it, you know, it was chosen by the fans, and that's really who it should be. I personally like the Metropolitans to kind of go back to their old days, but of course, that's the name of a division, which just still makes me shake my head that there's a Metropolitan division. But, you know, it's a catchy name. Certainly, Jerry Bruckheimer, who's a part owner of that team, might have had some influence. His Pirates of the Caribbean and all that's good stuff. But, you know, the logo looks nice. I mean, it seems like every NHL uniform, at least one version or another, seems to have that color scheme going in. And as far as, you know, naming the mascot, you know, octopus, okay. You know, the Red Wings don't own that, although it is a traditional thing. You're not seeing too many playoff octopuses over the last few years at Little Caesars Arena or Joe Louis Arena. And probably that Seattle might have a better chance to make the playoffs in another year than the Red Wings. So overall, I like it, and it's great to have another team in there. It makes an even 32. And, you know, Seattle has a pretty good hockey history for an American team. So I'm looking forward to see what kind of product they put on the ice.
See, I could agree more with the Metropolitan Division comment, Scott. You and I have talked about that numerous times. That's one of the worst names for a division I've ever seen. And honestly, Detroit has the rights of that octopus still in my eyes. They're the tradition. They are the original six franchise. But maybe if the Kraken can come out with a mascot that even looks like Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean. But I think there'd be a little bit of trademark to go along with that. I believe that would cause a little bit of issue. But nonetheless, so I'm going to go to Justin Heichel next or in a follow order for this, at least, topic of discussion. What do you think of the Kraken? You like the logo? And give us your thought on the mascot. I liked your comment on our social media page. It seems like you want to go in a different direction.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been trying to repurpose the New York Islanders fisherman, Captain Highlander, there for a few years. So, yes. You know, why not throw him in Seattle? That's a great mascot to walk around. Can throw around and walk around and throw octopus legs at people in the crowd. But I think the name is solid. I think it's a pretty fresh. It's you can relate to a young fan base. An older fan base thinks it's cool. The color scheme is pretty sweet, and I like how the one logo incorporated the Seattle Space Needle. So I really think they're doing everything right. I think although the Vegas kind of set drew out the game plan on how to really do this right now in the, you know, in the new NHL. And I think Seattle is going to do it even better.
See, Seattle, a lot of people were questioning, and we can kind of feed about this as we go, but a lot of people were doubting, why isn't Quebec going in the league? Why wouldn't there be even another team being considered? Why Seattle? Will this be a powerful hockey market? The last I checked, when there was a team going in Las Vegas, there's a lot of question about the passion of the market. Now, Vegas compared to Seattle, and I feel our next individual will give a comment about my comment here, EJ Russell, but I feel like comparing Vegas to Seattle is not fair because Vegas is always just bumping, okay? And that's the word I'm using. It's always busy, a lot of traffic. Not saying Seattle doesn't have that, but a lot of people are wondering why they even chose Seattle, but it's done with. It's happening. Their name's out. They have the first ever green arena, which is the Climate Pledge Arena, which is everything will be environmentally friendly, which I think is fantastic. Okay. So overall, EJ, going to you next with this. Just Seattle, reaction with the Kraken and your mascot decision.
Well, I think they absolutely nailed the color scheme. I mean, you look at every Seattle team, the Mariners, the Seahawks, now the Kraken. They're all some combination of like a navy blue and a greenish color. So I think that was well done. I love the red accent. I hope that they get a little playful with that and come up with some great uniform combinations because, man, that could look cool with a real powerful red uniform. But I think the name is appropriate. I like what they're doing. I think that the market's good to go there versus a city like Quebec because hockey is a game that needs to be expanded to places where it hasn't been, right? And Seattle's a place where it has been. It's worked well. We took it away from there. Let's put it back. That's an appropriate place for it to be out on the West Coast. Expand the game out that way. I love absolutely everything that the Kraken are doing. I think that the logos are awesome. The S logo to me, though, I will say is a little underwhelming. I think that the alternatives could be awesome, but not a big fan of the logo, but the colors, everything else, I'm a big fan.
He's definitely the Kraken. I think, Scott, you brought the Seattle Metropolitans. I wonder if they're going to go, and I know obviously we talked about the division overall, but even then, having that, I wonder if they're going to bring kind of that into their alternate jerseys. I wonder if they even should. I think they should. Obviously, like how the Winnipeg Jets came back into the league after moving, and they still kept their – they made an alternate jersey that involves their original logo, right? So I kind of hope Seattle does something. But the Seattle Metropolitans, if I know correctly, since that was quite some time ago and when Seattle played – but obviously, I believe they had red within that logo. So it would almost kind of make sense kind of with the eye of the Kraken monster that they have in their S, which is kind of put in there, which is definitely a neat design. Now, Connor, going to you, saving the best for last, if you will, if you want me to go that to make you feel great for jumping in last on these comments. But overall, the Seattle Kraken and the mascot, you know, it's I know you do a lot of our baseball coverage, but you're an overall sports guy. You seem like a type of guy that would rock a Seattle Kraken jersey in a crowd.
Unquestionably, Dave. I love the spirit of this choice. And like was mentioned before, there was a lot of fan support behind this decision to go with Seattle Kraken. It seems like a fun, spirited way to start this new franchise. And after the fiasco we had with the Golden Knights naming from the Black Knights to just the Vegas Knights naming rights controversy with London, and then finally the botched reveal on that 10-9-8 countdown, it's really good to see that I think they nailed the spirit of this decision.
Definitely. A lot of rumors that were coming up with them were Seattle. Obviously, the Kraken was the most to go, but you obviously had the Seattle Reign. You had the Seattle Totems. Obviously, I've also heard the Seattle Whalers were brought up. I heard there was like at least a dozen options. But imagine the Whalers logo being back if Carolina franchise would let that go. I feel like that would have been fantastic too. But nonetheless, they're called the Kraken. They're going to be getting involved. Not only do they have the environmental friendly arena, but they're going to try to get that affiliation with the Kraken rum and serve that at games. Like I just overall, you guys hit the nail on the head with a couple comments of getting the fans involved. And it's just amazing what they did. And you can check out our social media pages. Give us your comment if you think it should be something else for a mascot name, or hit us a like if you agree that Davy Jones is a good spot. I think Davy Jones as a name for the mascot just overall makes sense. I just when I think of the monster, and I could be wrong, any Pirates of the Caribbean lovers out there in this or on this panel can correct me, but I believe Davy Jones was kind of, they were kind of making him seem like he was the Kraken monster. Am I correct on that? Does anyone want to jump in on that?
I do believe he had a tentacle-y face.
And he had a chest with his heart in it. I know that too. But like literally when you have the Kraken monster, it's just a different approach. I think it was fantastic, their intro. And yes, like Connor, like you said, at least they didn't botch the introduction. But now I got my eye on the expansion draft. And Justin, you'll get a chuckle at this. You and I had a memory shared on my Facebook a little bit ago when we did the mock draft for the Vegas Golden Knights. And when I watched that, I got a little bit of a laugh from the recording quality that we had then to now.
Man, I sat out in my garage and I watched that entire video again. It was hilarious.
We actually did pretty good on a couple.
We weren't bad.
No, surprisingly.
So we'll get a better video quality for the next go around, but I think we'll see how many we can hit this time.
Like that. I think it's going to be a little bit different than when Vegas had the success. I think teams are a bit more strategic with this. But transitioning from Seattle into the NHL playoffs. Now, right now at this time of recording, we are awaiting the start of the buy-in rounds before the playoffs even started. Obviously, we have games starting on August 1st weekend. And teams, just to run through it quickly, Toronto, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Montreal, Islanders, Florida, Hurricanes, Rangers, you have the Flames, Jets, Oilers, Hawks, Canucks, Wild, Predators, and Coyotes being the buy-in teams, if you will. And then you have the Bruins, Lightning, Capitals, Philly. Then you have the Blues, Avalanche, Knights, and also Dallas being the eight teams that are the top-seeded teams. They're going to be playing for seeding. So, obviously, we're not going to jump into dissecting each series or each buy-in series or anything like that, as the time consumption would be very large in terms of that, especially with the big panel here. So if you, we're going to go around the horn and pick up names randomly. We'll end with myself. If you want to pick one series that you want to talk about quickly and briefly, that's fine. But overall, I want to jump into what you feel about how the playoff format is in the NHL. And we've talked about this on the ESPN 1400 dish with myself, Scott, EJ, and Butch, and we've got some chime in there. So I know Scott and EJ's opinions, but maybe we can expand on them, fellas, in terms of what we all think. And if we're excited that it's back, because it's going to be August, we have summer hockey going on, we could be sitting on our decks and watching TV, or we could be in the garage with the garage door open if you're at Miles or at Justin's house watching the game. A lot of good things happening with the NHL and sports overall. So I want to go around. I'm going to start, actually, with EJ. That's where I'm throwing you first, EJ, with this NHL playoff starting. You go.
Listen, if any of us try to assume that we know what's going to happen in this stunted semi-season that we're going to be playing this year, I honestly, anything can happen. Hockey's such a game. And Dave, Scott, everybody that's on the show that's listening or discussing tonight, we've all played the game of hockey. It's very much a game of ebb and flow. You have to feel it. There's a rhythm to it. And right now, no team's coming into this season with a rhythm. So am I going to dare to pick who I think wins? No, I think that teams that you would expect to be out front are going to be out front. But yeah, honestly, it's anybody's game at this point. It's who gets in the best rhythm, the fastest, that's the team that's going to win. And I do like, and I will say this because everybody knows I have a little bit of an opinion on this team, I do like the way that the Columbus Blue Jackets are putting their thing together. I think they could find that rhythm. I think they're a team that could take a run at the Stanley Cup that really don't deserve to be there, but they could find a way to win. They've done it in the past. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning last year, which looked like an unbelievable team. Could anybody, my point is, and this is what's great about the NHL playoffs, because even in a full season, a team like the Los Angeles Kings has proven that as an 8 seed, you can win a cup. It's going to be anybody's game this year, so I'm just really excited to see how it goes.
See, EJ, and I'll get your thought with this, too, is that, is it fair to say, and this is a lot of people have talking about that, I'm not saying this because taking the host hat off here and taking my fan hat on as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, but is that Toronto-Columbus series, is it fair to say that a team that wins that series, that they can realistically be a shot at winning the Stanley Cup because that's the series that's going to get you most prepared?
I mean, that's a tough series. A team like the Columbus Blue Jackets, who I think play exceptionally well at home. I mean, we are the fifth line, that whole mantra they had a couple of years ago. But to go on the road and play in Toronto, that's a whole other ballgame. So I'll say this. Either way, those are two good teams that if either of them come out of that, they do have a shot at winning it all because, I mean, why not? Again, like I said, nobody knows what's going to happen. But if a team like Columbus can go on the road, and I'll say this. If a team like Columbus, Carolina, these teams that – and I know Carolina has a cup that statistically have not been great hockey towns. If they go out to a team like Toronto, the Bruins, Detroit, whatever, these Chicago, these statistically great hockey towns, and they get a win on the road, watch out for whoever that team is. I don't know who it's going to be, but in the last few years in hockey, there's always been a team that has found that way to jump out like the Blue Jackets last year on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Somebody's going to come out and shock you, and watch out for that team because you know what? There's no reason. There's nothing to be afraid of. Go out and get it this year.
And before we even continue to jump, Connor, I'm going to go to you next. I'll say two quick things to that, EJ. You got the Leafs and Jackets that are teams that were battling injuries all year, and they're finally both healthy for the most part, which is going to be exciting. But John Tortorella said, I can just somehow picture Justin's face reading these quotes where he says, if we play like that when we started to get serious, if we play the way we've been practicing, which is like shit, that's his exact words, we're done 3 games. I laughed. I think that's just Torts to a T. But overall, the losers of the series as a buy-ins, they got a decent chance for a consolation prize. I know we argued about that before, and that is Alexis Lafreniere, 12.5% chance, actually, to be exact. Connor, I'm
the lottery is crap, Dave.
hey, you know what, if Columbus win the lottery, is it still crap?
I will never, ever, ever be a fan of the lottery. That's the reason why I'm such a big football fan, and I know we're trying to talk a little hockey here, but there's so much parity between teams that are in the playoffs from year over year. What was it? The NFC South had a different champion every year for 10 straight years. Why? Because the draft allows the worst teams to get the best pick. I don't understand why a lottery is even remotely sensible.
See, I think that's something we're definitely jumping on another show as a little bit of a lottery segment, because we also have myself, Scott's, and EJ's opinions, and also Butch's from the Monday edition. But it'd be also good to hear everyone else's with that. I feel that's just another whole show with the draft lottery. But Connor, going over to you in terms of the National Hockey League restart, playoffs, whatever you want to call it, if you will, getting started in the coming weekend.
See, Dave, I love the fun that's involved in this 24-team expanded playoff format, but I really don't think it's fair, especially to teams in the 5 and 6 slots, where you've got teams like Montreal, who had a statistical 2 or 3% chance of advancing to the playoffs, and now they're in a knockout round against the 5th-seeded Pittsburgh Penguins. And as we've mentioned before, anything can happen in hockey. So Montreal goes from having a 2% chance of making the playoffs to a near 50% chance of advancing to the next round. I think it's a little ridiculous, but hey, I love fun, and this is pretty fun.
It's certainly going to be interesting, just all the battles, but I definitely, when I get my opinion, I got to cut my eyes on a couple series. But I'm going to go to Justin next. Justin, I know that you and I will probably be enjoying some garage beverages for a couple, at least 3 games, hopefully, if you will. But overall, the NHL playoffs, I've never really gotten your reaction about it since obviously we've had our pause with our new shows. Your opinion about the NHL restart?
I mean, the world loves reality TV right now. And the NHL has pretty well made this must-see TV, at least for the first round. Like, if you lose, you have a chance at probably a generational talent. And if you you win, you move on to the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the whole thing is going to be bananas. Like, you don't know where anyone's at right now. Like, the my alter ego, Gambler the Magnificent, is going to be beating up DraftKings next weekend. That's for sure.
Gambler the Magnificent. When's the last time you placed a bet? It's probably been some time.
Dave, I think my coworkers at work were getting a little concerned when I was trying to sell them on it's okay for me to be betting on Australian rules football. So,
so I think Scott might have something to say about the Australian football. What do you think of that, Scott?
No, absolutely. I bet on a daily basis on that. Good, that's fantastic.
I've been watching it at lunch every day. It's awesome. I come home from work. It's on at lunch. I get all fired up. I go back to work, and no one knows what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, you got Australian football. I got Korean baseball. So between all of us, we got the whole world covered.
Oh, it's been amazing now to see some sports back that we're used to seeing, as baseball is obviously underway, but hockey around the corner. Scott, going to you with this topic next with the NHL restart. Just if you want to talk about a series, you definitely can. Floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, you guys all made great points, and I like Justin's must-see TV reality television, because I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen, but we're going to be watching it. And if you would have told me that even a month ago we'd be in this position where NHL is starting, NBA starting, Major League Baseball's on as we speak, football, who knows what's going to happen there. We'll talk about that later. I'm just happy that anything's out there right now, and very interested to see. I guess the one team I'm watching is Montreal. You guys mentioned them because, again, like Justin said and Connor said, you know, they got a 50% chance to advance to the Stanley Cup, or they have a good chance to get a generational talent, and you know, especially being a Quebec generational talent, somebody in Montreal. I'm excited. Obviously, the Wings aren't a part of this, but you know, 24 teams can win it, and who knows what's going to happen. But I know you, I, and all of us will be watching.
See, now what I'll say is, I'll go around the table, is basically just a yes or no with this before I even go to my thought, I guess. I want to ask you guys before I get to that thought, is that the winner of the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, do they get an asterisk no matter who it is? I'll start with you, Scott.
No.
EJ.
Never.
Connor.
Absolutely not.
Justin.
No, not a chance.
I definitely agree with no asterisks. This asterisk BS, get it out. I don't like, if you win the cup, you win the cup. That's all I got to say. Now, getting to my point.
It's hard to win a game, not let alone a trophy. It's hard to win a game.
Oh, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, the hardest trophy to win, man. The hardest, well, I know some people might have different, but it's definitely, in my opinion, the hardest trophy to win. That might be a little bit biased, but besides that point.
There's no bias to that. That's the one thing that's great, and Scott, I could hear it in the back of my head, and you just never said it. The first round of the NHL playoffs is one of the greatest things in sports. It's like the first two rounds of March Madness. It's just something you got to watch. It's must-see TV. It's teams that have battled all year. They slug it out, and damn it, are they just fantastic, and it's great hockey, and it's the best of the best. It's a tough game. There's nothing more exciting than the first round of the NHL playoffs. And it is, hands down, one of the toughest trophies to win. Football, you got to get through a few rounds, but you only got to play one game. Hockey, you got to go put your body on the line every day. The Stanley Cup is as prestigious as it is because of the difficulty, because of the level of difficulty it takes to get there.
Definitely. Now, even with, like I said, with the playoff format, the play-in rounds, I got my eyes on a couple series. That is Toronto-Columbus, that is Calgary-Winnipeg. Those are the two series that I have my eyes on, because those are the series of kind of, I guess you can say, almost the middle of the pack, because a 5th-12th like Pittsburgh-Montreal or Edmonton-Chicago isn't really like that. I guess you can say a 7-10 series like a Islanders-Florida or 6-11 like Carolina-New York is going to be intriguing. But I feel like those 8-9 seeds, if you will, players and teams that are playing involved in that, they're going to be the best prepared going forward, because I feel like they're the more evenly matched. But again, EJ, you've said this. that you don't know who's going to come out. You don't know who is going to happen or what is going to happen, who is healthy or if anyone even has an advantage. Okay. Like some teams have hot starts, you know, maybe some teams have the better flow right now. Does Toronto and Edmonton have an advantage? You better damn right say that you think they do because they are playing at home in a circumstance. Yeah, as their fans, do you get to hear a hall of notes when they score? Well, maybe you do if you're a Toronto fan. Maybe you play it at home on your speaker. But overall, you don't have fans sitting in the stands. You don't have that same momentum. But at the end of the day, you're still playing on ice that you're familiar to play with. So there is an advantage there. Much as people don't agree with that. So Toronto and Edmonton have the advantage with that. But that's why I got my eyes on those two series because those are going to be the teams that are most prepared going forward. And also just the NHL playoff format, the 24 teams, the teams that are like 20 and down, I almost go, I don't know if they should have had a chance, but you know what? They did. It was something that I won't be able to change. You kind of look at that 25th team. Do they go, oh, what the heck? You know, like honestly, they could have maybe looked at it a little different, but overall, this is the most fair that they were able to do, the most reasonable to get the schedule completed, and it's going to be a busy time in hockey playoffs. Buy-in playoffs, Stanley Cup finals, then obviously there's a little break, then there's the draft, and then there's free agency, then it's training camp again. Like, it's boom, 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 if all is normal, obviously, when it gets to that point. And it's just definitely a certain format that I'm intrigued to see how it goes, and not seeing fans in the crowd is going to be very, very different. Now, transitioning from hockey, we're going to jump into the NBA. And I'm going to go to Scott to go first on this, but we're not going to go through every series or every team, like I said, for the hockey segment, but basketball is a little bit different, okay, than hockey. You've had players that are choosing not to participate in much. Hockey has that, but not as much as basketball or even, especially if you're not the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, you got Orlando, Florida in there. You got Disney World. You got all this kind of a different approach that the NBA has done in comparison to the NHL. Just the overall NBA restart format and the everything getting started because they're not doing it the same, Scott, if I remember correctly. They're going to be following a format of playing games, and then from there they determine who's going to be playing what and then going forward with the playoffs.
Yeah, it's certainly a little different in the NBA, one, the location they're in, because Florida, is, I like to call Wuhan, Florida, is where they're at right now with all the
Wuhan cases
going on. Yeah, exactly. And so obviously, that's a big difference. They are not going right into the playoffs. There's 22 teams that are returning to play, and they're doing what's called seeding games. As far as, you know, they're going to play about 7 or 8 games before you get to the playoffs. They will not have fans. They're going to have testing protocol, much like the other ones. But I think the NBA, and certainly when we get to the NFL, those probably present the most problems as far as, you know, potentially the COVID virus possibly shutting things down. I didn't even think we'd be to this point, to be quite honest. But once you get to the playoffs, then you're going to have the traditional best of 7 series, 1 versus 8. There's a chance that if the 8th place team in the West is less than 4 games ahead of the 9th place team, then they'll do like a kind of a play in series to get to the playoffs. But you know, they're warming up and they're ready to go on Friday. So just you think of what's going to happen potentially over the next few months when you're going to have all 4 major sports going at it, and then you're going to have a little break, and then they're going to go at it again. Again, we hope that's the cause, because you can't really predict what's going to happen on a week-to-week, let alone day-to-day basis, the way this virus has been. But I'm certainly looking forward to the NBA starting here in a matter of about 5 days.
Definitely. Now, even with the NBA, Scott, they have the nicknames and not nicknames. That's not the, I say nicknames because not the real names, but they have 20 names, I believe, that they were able to choose from in support of all the stuff that's been happening, the Black Lives Matter, Justice, etc., the names that they've chosen. Scott, quickly, do you like that they've done that?
You know, I'm not going to comment on that for fear of saying something that might upset the general masses. It is what it is. You know, obviously, it's a cause now that is front and center. And so the NBA, if that's what they choose to do, then that's what they choose to do. So that's about as neutral an answer as I can give.
I like that, my friend. That is actually a very good answer. Now, Justin, I was going to go to EJ next, but I'm actually going to save EJ for last on this one because I think he's going to want to jump in to my comment with this. Now, obviously, us being based in Canada along with Connor is that we were able to see a championship last year with the Toronto Raptors and how Toronto and Canada – reacted to Toronto winning in the finals against the, I guess we'll say, to not upset any Golden State listeners, but Kevin Durant-less Golden State Warriors, which for some reason a lot of people say when they're Golden State fans, but overall the Raptors still walked away on top. And they were a top three team in the NBA still this year. And why I bring this up, Justin, to you first, and I'm throwing you right on the spot because you're, like I said, an original OG on the show, so I get to give you that kind of pressure, is that the disrespect for the Raptors is still so real, first off, and I really dislike it in a lot of formats. I really don't know why the Raptors haven't earned that additional respect, firstly. And secondly, just if you want to give your reaction about the NBA restart, Scott gave a great explanation about how everything is going, just in case any listener was not familiar with what's going on. So your take, NBA and just the Raptors, since you are somebody who is based on the show in Canada.
Well, first, I'd like to shout out the Raptors, the longest reigning NBA champions, I believe now, or how many days that is.
Yeah.
But no, I'm interested to see how this shakes out. I mean, I think like the NHL, the way the restart's going, that playoff is kind of the cream to the crop for us here in Canada. But I think a lot of the, you know, aside from the northern states in the U.S., I don't know how much hockey is really an interest to them. I think the basketball playoffs are where it's at. And I think for the Raptors being the defending champions and, you know, being they were having a pretty good year going into this whole shit show that is 2020. you know, I think it's a good, you know, they're going to be front and center on this, you know, the basketball, you know, essentially NBA's March Madness is what this is going to be. You know, a little longer drawn out, you know, so more playoff series, but the play-in round. So you're going to have to see these teams warm up. But I think the Raptors can beat healthy Raptors, especially the way they've looked. I think they can beat any team that they're going to face, at least out of the East right now.
Yep. Now, what about the disrespect? The disrespect the Raptors get from, I'll say it, media overall in terms of like how people don't bring them up in comparisons to the Celtics, the Bucks, the Clippers, the Lakers. And if anyone on here says that the Raptors aren't better than the Celtics, I think that is incorrect. Are they better than the Lakers, Clippers, or the Bucks? Maybe not. Maybe not. I feel like overall the Bucks and the Raptors would be a pretty good seven-game series again if it got to that point. But if you listen to it from a perspective with the Raptors, they are not getting the love they deserve, Justin. Or do you have no comment with that?
Dave, I am perfectly happy being on one of the only sports media programs that talks about the NBA champions. I mean, if no one else wants to talk about them, I'm happy to do it. You're happy to do it. Scott's happy to do it. Connor's happy to do it. EJ's happy to do it. I mean, we're all happy to take someone else's job, too, somewhere else that doesn't want
to. You're not going to like what I have to say, though.
I don't care. I'm just giving you some credit before you shoot me down. That's all.
Honestly, that is a great point, Justin. It's almost like saying you don't have a comment, but you're happy to be talking about it. I like it. Smart answer. Connor, I'm going to you next. Same question that I had for Justin, the respect and the NBA playoffs overall.
Yeah, there's nothing funner than watching and being an avid watcher of shows like First Take or Undisputed, where the Toronto Raptors win the NBA championship, get an 8-minute talk segment, and then LeBron's child, who's 14 in high school, or maybe he was in junior high at that point, gets a 12-minute segment about how he's grown 2 inches. That's nothing fires me up more. So hopefully a Kawhi-less Toronto Raptors can show the American media market that there is still a lot of fight on this roster.
Definitely. Now, it's just the NBA playoffs. Are you kind of a fan of it taking the approach that they did? Or do you think that maybe despite how many less games is it, maybe they should have went an NHL route with the buy-in seed, et cetera?
Oh, boy. Well, hosting it in Florida is great. It's the Chernobyl of the virus in the United States, but this is going to be a nuclear finish to the season anyway, so I find it fitting.
Chernobyl, nice.
I love that. EJ, I give you the floor.
Listen, I think that last year's Toronto Raptors team was one of the most all-around complete champions I've seen in a while. They found a way with their talent to play as exceptional as they could to win a title. They did a great job. Doesn't matter who they beat. Doesn't matter who that team had or didn't have. Guess what? They're the NBA champions, okay? That's a fact. But I don't think that they're this good, you know. And, Dave, you're like, well, don't we're as good as the Boston Celtics. You're not the Boston Celtics, though. The Boston Celtics have numerous banners hanging up in their rafters. You got one. Okay. I'm sorry. That's the reason your team doesn't get the amount of respect that it deserves. It's the same reason why whenever somebody talks about my Cleveland Cavaliers, there's nothing to talk about because we only got one. It's just, it is what it is. You're not the Boston Celtics. Are these Toronto Raptors a good team? Yes. Do I believe that they're the second best team in the East? Yes, I do. But I don't see a way that they get past the Milwaukee Bucks. I think we're looking at a Lakers-Bucks finish. And honestly, I don't see a way that King James in all of his glory, and I'm not saying this is a biased Cleveland fan, I just think that he's the greatest basketball player that I've ever seen in my life. I don't see how he doesn't find a way with rest to not win a championship this year.
See, now I would love to be a fan, and I'll say this quickly with it. I would love to see Toronto against the Clippers in the finals. And I guess I bet you everyone can guess why I'm saying that. And it's because of Kawhi. It's literally everyone has said the Raptors don't have Kawhi now. They don't have a chance. You know, I look at the Raptors and I see a team that is deep on the floor and deep on the bench. I see a team that if one guy is off, there's always another guy to go in, and they have the best depth in the NBA, arguably, in my opinion. If you're kind of a team that is a top-seeded team that can go in and night out, and defensively, they are studs. Siakam, Ibaka, Gasol is in some great shape. Have you seen this, man? This guy has rejuvenated his body. It's just defensively, I think the Raptors are a team that are going to have the chance to repeat. And for the love of Canadian media, even for this show, as we also do American media on this show too, I'm saying both, but if the Raptors can win again, and if they beat the Clippers in the finals, if they win, that would be some sort of delicious. That would go down the throat into the stomach and be the best meal ever, okay, for those Raptors, okay? At the end of the day, it's going to be exciting to see them all back, and I'm in support of all the movement that they have been doing. I'll say a quick comment with that. But overall, any other additional final thoughts from Scott, EJ, Justin, or Connor? Nothing like that. So we're going to go forward from the NBA to the baseball, gentlemen. Now, baseball, Connor is our baseball analyst, okay? And that is the title that I've given him when I shook his hand to say if he can come on the show. And I remember Connor Henderson coming into the studio inside of On TV and for the first time doing the show and was just lights out, okay? This guy is a natural. You know him through our baseball. So, Connor, I want to give you the floor first, okay? I know that with this show we're known for being free speaking, that we don't follow anything, but in terms of having a panel of five here tonight, I did type out a little kind of point form notes Google Doc, if you will, that I share with everybody, and I have noted there that I said, Connor, if you're on this, you and I can lead, but I might scratch the you, and I'm going to go to you first. I'll say the first topic, and you can expand from there and talk about the MLB because it's fascinating, this return, about everything that's going on, this the pool of money, the playoffs, the accelerated season of 60 games. The topic that I'll give to you, then I'll let you span off from there, is Toronto playing in Buffalo. And Scott, we called this on the show last week on the Monday edition of the show, and I know you can attest to that. EJ, I know you can too, that we said that they're going to be playing in Buffalo. It just makes sense. Do you agree? And take the floor at the MLB.
Well, I agree for the sake of Canadians. We've seen in other leagues like the NBA that they went to the bubble format. The MLB seems to be pretending that the virus just straight doesn't exist. Teams are traveling far and wide to go play each other. And yes, they've localized the games to an extent, but at the end of the day, I'm proud that the Canadian government banned games in Canada, as much as that hurts me as a supporter of the Jays fan being a Canadian. 81% of Canadians don't agree on opening up the border. 81% of Canadians don't agree on anything. So if this is what the population wanted, then this is what the population gets. And if that means playing in Buffalo, it's no different than when the Maple Leafs play in Buffalo and it's basically another home game. So it's close to home. Good for the government of Canada, good for the league for starting, but in terms of how they compare to the other leagues, much more risky, I have to say.
Definitely a lot more risky. Now, your thoughts about them having that 60-game season, and I'm sure you're familiar with the playoff format of how they're doing things as well.
Yeah, personally, I love the 60-game season because I'm a Detroit Tigers fan, and they're terrible, so this gives them a fighting chance. As for the expanded roster of teams going into the playoffs, it keeps things interesting for everybody. So I think this is a win-win across the board. It increases revenue. It gives everybody something to watch. And for non-baseball fans, this is a season to get you into it. There's nothing else really going on, and 60 games is digestible.
Dude, one thing that breaks my heart, though, Connor, is that you and I won't be sharing the same dugout this year in baseball, and I won't be on the mound pitching and getting ready for it to take you out as the closer. You know what? I was going to come in. I was going to relieve you in the bottom of the seventh inning and close out the game. That's one thing I miss in terms of playing the game or being there overall. But, yes, I couldn't agree more with the fans. If you're a non-fan of the game, it's a time to get into it. Now, overall, Scott, I'm going to go to you next. The format of the playoffs is pretty fascinating, actually. To give an example, is that they're going to have more teams get in. It's expanded. And if you're the top seed, for example, and I'm going to use the Dodgers, if they're going to be a top seed, they get to pick who they want to play. Now, this is what they were talking about through the Jays programming, that this is how they were going to do it. So if there's any kind of edits or change with what I'm saying, please jump in and interrupt with it or correct me when I get to you on your comment. But Scott, with you first, as I mentioned, it's just different. Like, imagine being the Dodgers and be like, what team do I want to play? Okay, the Blue Jays made it. Okay, I want the Blue Jays in the first round, if it's that, or if it's someone within their own division, maybe they want to play, or within their own league, maybe they want to play the Milwaukee Brewers or whoever it may be, right? It's definitely interesting to see how they're doing it. And just the travel and MLB starting 60 games, it's going to come and go quick.
It really is. And Connor, the first place Detroit Tigers, because they won again today, despite striking out about 1,000 times this weekend. I don't expect that to continue, but you know what? In a 60-game schedule, who knows? But I watched a lot of baseball this weekend. I must say, I probably watched more baseball this weekend than I watched half of last summer. It's great to have the games back. I think it does more than just, you know, it does so much for the psyche of a lot of people who, you know, maybe have run out of Netflix shows to watch. You turn off the cable news and all that nonsense. It's great to have it back. I could do without the cardboard cutouts and Fox, the national broadcast, actually putting in computer-generated fans in Wrigley Field. Not a big fan of that, but it's great to have baseball back. And, you know, every game matters a lot because, you know, you're going to have a lot of teams in the playoffs, 16. So you finish in the top two in your division to get in, then a couple third-place teams get in. So I think Major League Baseball, we talked about it on the game on Monday night, you know, about a month or so ago. Not many of us, including me, thought we'd even get to this point of even having a season. I love it. I am all aboard the baseball train, and let's go.
See, now, EJ, I'll go to you next for everything that was discussed, obviously giving the floor with that. But also, Scott hit a good thing there. When we talked about it on the ESPN edition of the show, you know, we talked about, you know, how this league may not start, right? And it just seems like they hit a wall. And we had the NHL and the NBA who had their plans in place and everything. And the MLB, it seems like they got out of bed, had their breakfast, and they went to a meeting and said, okay, let's get it going. And it's just like they agreed. And then all of a sudden, we're here and it started. So giving you the floor with the MLB, EJ.
Well, Major League Baseball wanted to act like they were going to have such a hard time paying these players and then sign Mookie Betts to a 10-year, $350 million, whatever the heck it was, contract. Okay, you'll be fine. Bring baseball back. I am glad that it's back. I'm going to keep my answer short, sweet, and to the point. I think, Scott, you nailed it right on the head. It's great for the psyche of the country and people. It's summer. It's time for baseball. We got to have something to watch there. For those of you that have been missing sports, well, wake up earlier and watch KBO with me. But other than that, it's great to have baseball back. I also love the fact that my Cleveland Indians are playing games with teams like the Milwaukee Brewers and all these other cities that are closer to me. So if I get a chance to go to a game, if we're allowed to, hey, they're close. I might get a shot to go see my Indians for the first time in a few years. So I love what baseball is doing. I think they're doing a good job, the best that they can.
The best that they can. Obviously, the travel thing is certainly going to be interesting.
There's no way to get it right. Let's just say thanks that it's back. It's not going to – it'll fail. Everything will, because this virus has just screwed everything up. But do what you can. At least they're trying.
Yeah. Justin, I know you love chatting baseball.
Hey, listen, I've watched an if you know me personally, I've watched an uncomfortable amount of baseball this weekend. All right, I've been watching UFC like three times a week, and I can't go to the grocery store without like looking at someone and wanting to put them in a headlock. So, like having another sport on has been breathtaking. I watched the Jays three times this weekend. They looked awesome on Friday night. They look like
okay yesterday and okay today.
They blew it. They blew it.
I do think their situation in Buffalo is kind of advantageous to the young Jays. I mean, they haven't had a whole lot of time to get used to the MLB comforts yet. So being in basically what's the equivalent of the McMeekin in Buffalo playing baseball. There's going to be a couple of guys up on some Zoom booms with flashlights shining it on the field and everything else.
If anyone's tuning in wondering what the McMeekin is, it's out of Sault Ste. Marie. It's actually, Justin, give a quick little 10 seconds review of what the McMeekin is here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
Well, if you'd ever been to a hockey rink in the 1940s or 50s, the McMeekin locker room has all of the comforts of those locker rooms with one shower. one shower, but enough room for about six guys to get around that shower head. 4 minutes of hot water. There's one or I think maybe two toilets in there, one with a door. Each team gets one half roll of one ply toilet paper and some wooden benches. So that's McMeekin.
And it's 100 degrees inside the dressing room at all times.
And it smells like the back of your hockey bag in August.
and it almost killed a bunch of people. Jokes aside, which is bad because of the what was
asbestos.
That called? Yeah, all that stuff that went
asbestos,
on.
Asbestos, CO2, the hot chocolate being 600 degrees, whatever.
Corona. It was monoxide, yeah.
Oh, the code orange that came out in the Sioux at that time. Remember, that was because of the McMeekin Center, okay? But all jokes aside, we were talking baseball. But you know what, the Jays, I'll say quickly, Connor, you and I can bounce on this quick before we go to our next topic. Thinking of the Jays and Tigers in perspective, because I know we have an Indian, Cleveland Indian fan here on the, obviously just on the panel. We have a wide range of listeners that like a whole bunch of teams. But in particular, talk about the Tigers and Jays here quick. I know the Tigers, despite the placement right now of where they're currently at this time of recording, things are bound to change. But they did have a good first overall pick in this previous draft. There's a lot of steals in the draft, including the Jays. I felt getting Austin Martin was an absolute steal at 5. But besides even that, the young players in Toronto with Vlad, Biggio, Bichette, and just Austin Martin coming up, Lourdes Gurriel. This young team, if they can get into the postseason, it would. I know it's a different format, but just to play some meaningful baseball, you got to think that would be great for the Toronto young team and the Toronto Blue Jays as a youth core, is what I should say, to get that experience.
It's reminiscent to when the Toronto Maple Leafs snuck into the playoffs and faced the Washington Capitals, where they had that incredibly young roster, and they would have that same situation here. So if they can get in, that would be sweet. It would be a 180 from when they had that super old Edwin Jose Bautista lineup. So I'd love to see it.
Definitely. Now the Blue Jays, watching some of those old classic Jays games, especially the Bautista bat flip that I know Scott Nason loves very much, but overall, it's going to be interesting to see. Now, I'm going to go to the NFL, okay? And I know currently the NFL it hasn't started. Obviously, we're still waiting a few things for the NFL to get panned out. Justin, you are an original OG on this. I'm going to go to you first. Just in the pocket segment here, fellas, if people that haven't been a part of In the Pocket before, I know EJ has, I know that Scott, I'm not too sure if you have personally yet with any In the Pocket, but Connor, I know this would probably be your first. Start us off with some football.
Well, I mean, it's I'm just excited that the prospect of football coming back, we're talking about it again. I think we should be kind of, this time last year, we had some training camps firing up and rookies would have reported at least a week ago. So I would have been chewing on some football news by now, but I think we're still kind of waiting to figure out what the return to play plan is. I know the players have agreed that they want to, I think they've agreed to the NFL's plan or something like that, but we don't really know what the details are. I'm just excited. I mean, I got the email to set up my fantasy football league. But in all seriousness, I think baseball is going to kind of pave the way in terms of how the traveling is working out and bouncing between cities. in terms of how the NFL is going to be able to make this happen. Because, I mean, NFL, you're traveling with a small army. And you got, they're going to be, I think they're playing with an expanded roster. So I think they're going with like 80 guys. And then you've got your training staff and coaches. So you've really, even if you scale it back, you're probably traveling with 130, 140 people. Yeah. So to see how baseball does with it and see if, you know, they can manage traveling and kind of keeping a self-contained in a bubble within a hotel when they're going city to city. And see if the NFL can kind of expand on that on a bigger scale. But yeah. I hope football comes back.
The NFL can certainly use the other leagues that are in motion as kind of the trial and error portion of what they can do, right? And we've obviously had a lot of like different news that's happened in the NFL too. And just so everybody knows, the NFL obviously holding right now. There's still been some off-season moves that have went on in the NFL. And I'm going to go to Scott here next. But before I go to Scott, I'm going to let listeners know that we've had some tech issues with EJ. He has reached out to me and said, thank you for coming on. And obviously you can follow EJ on all social media platforms if you'd like to reach out or talk to him. He will not be rejoining us on the panel for the rest of the night. It'll just be us four on here till we get to the end. So I'm going to give the time of EJ to Scott. Okay. That so you guess what, Scott? That basically gives you your usual 1 minute that you get on the show, plus additional 5 minutes on top of that for talking. But overall, going to you here, NFL, trades have went down. Seahawks made a move with the Jets. You know, we've had some decent off-season moves. The draft was great. And then the NFL Madden, when they released their ratings, the disrespect for a lot of people, a.k.a. Kyler Murray, I'm flat out going to say, was absolutely real in that. Just the NFL, it's going to be interesting to see how things go forward with that and just what has happened so far leading up to today.
Yeah, you know, the NFL obviously is probably going to have the toughest path of all the sports just because of the size of squads, like Justin said, and social distancing. I mean, here in the United States, we're 3 weeks away from high school football. The Michigan High School Athletic Association has at this point said game on as far as fall sports, yet many schools won't have students in it because of COVID-19. So it's going to be tough. And I agree with what Justin said about, you know, a lot of these sports are looking at baseball. You can also look at European soccer, who, you know, started before anybody. And, you know, the Premier League just finished their season today. They're moving on to the Champions League. And all things went pretty well as far as, you know, you're not having a lot of positives and getting the season in. But again, that's in Europe where cases are down. And, you know, full credit, Connor mentioned about, you know, the government of Canada really, you know, doing well. And I think making the right decision, you know, keeping the border closed. I mean, if the tables were turned, I'd want that border closed for a long time because I wouldn't want the disease coming into, you know, my country. And so I think Canada's done a very good job. But like Justin said, I really hope that we get some football in. College football in the United States, I think, is a little more far-fetched right now. But, you know, the NFL, we haven't seen a whole lot of details as far as their plans. They're going to be moving around a lot. Let's certainly hope that we have football to talk about because, you know, you just think September and October, like I mentioned earlier, you could have all four sports going, three of them in their playoff seasons. I mean, as a sports fan, it's unbelievable because this has never happened. Hopefully it doesn't happen again because of this pandemic, but I'm certainly keeping my fingers crossed for football. If you'd have told me a month or so ago that we'd even be here, I'd say no way. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens, but game on, I hope, for NFL here in a few weeks.
See, the NFL that I was certainly, I think they're in a very unique situation here. And Connor, with going to you next about it, it's different than the approach with baseball, where when this all went down, baseball is like in the middle of getting ready to start spring training, right? So now you're scrambling. Then you have the NBA and the NHL. They're like, shit, we're in the middle of our season, if not done our season pretty near. And now we have to figure out something. The NFL was done, right? It was completed. They were in their off season worrying about the draft and free agency, and they were able to sit back and not relax. That's not what anyone's really been able to do. And well, I guess if you've been really kind of quarantining, kind of maybe losing shape like I feel like I have. But overall, jokes aside, it just seems like the NFL is in a position of uniqueness because of this. And just excitement for this year, though. Like, I hope things go great because look at the storylines. Gronk and Brady, okay, going to the Buccaneers. And Justin, I know you're Colts. You have expectations with the Colts this year. You got a good old, if you will, good old quarterback joining you with Rivers, right? So obviously, you got some changes over there in the NFL that have been great. You have Cam Newton going over to the New England Patriots, which, first off, again, I'm very, I certainly call out when I say things when I'm right about it. So I'm going to say it. I said that was going to happen before all this pandemic went on. I will have to replay that clip. But Cam Newton going to the Patriots, I'm excited to see how the Patriots do without Tom Brady. But I'm excited to see how Cam Newton can do with Bill Belichick, right? Justin, before I go to Connor, did you have a comment to say about the Colts?
I was going to say the amount of Patriots fans I've been abusing on Reddit for the last 4 months has been just fantastic. I'd like to give them a shout out for taking it like champs. And I'd still like to express my point that Tom Brady was not the entire team that won all of those Super Bowls. So
yeah,
good luck to Tom and Jamie's on Jamie's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Jamie's not here to defend himself, so I had to throw that one in there.
No, and Jamie's actually a Saints fan now, not a Buccaneers fan. Remember, he switched.
I know. That's why I'm putting that out there.
That's right. Yeah. Now, I hope that never mind. We won't say what I hope. It's Tom Brady. He already has enough rings. But Connor, going over to you with that, it's just the storylines have been great. Now, even Colin Kaepernick, we won't jump into anything political here, which I feel like you would give a great opinion about. But there's a guy that had so much controversy a couple years ago, but now it's happening throughout all of sports. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about in terms of the anthem. Your thoughts with the NFL?
It's interesting when you touch on Colin that the NFL did release a statement that they essentially apologized in effect for how they handled the situation in 2017 and how they are looking to move forward in 2020. A little late to the game, but you appreciate that they're trying to take steps to make progress. As for the storylines, of course it goes straight to Tom Brady. I hope the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are prepared to cut nightshades out of their diet, follow the TB12 method, and get ready for an exciting NFL season.
Definitely. I like how you said the game. That's why I had to throw a chuckle in there, no pun intended. You're very good at throwing that. You know, and I can't take credit for the name, but I know who can for the Game Sports Show. He's on this panel right now, Scott Nason. I kind of want to veer over, like Justin, you and I have done. I want to go to you, Scott, with this, and Justin kind of a lot with it. You're a Tiger fan, Scott, obviously, and you know, it's obviously a Lion fan. Yeah, we're back talking baseball here. Sorry. Lions fan is what I meant to say. And, you know, the NFL isn't going to have the luxury of a shortened season, where I feel like if they had a shortened season, the Lions would be loving it. You know, like I feel like that'd be the best for the Lions fans. Maybe they, because I feel like they always have decent starts, if you will. And obviously the Colts, the Lions, the Steelers, and Connor, I'm not too sure what team you cheer for entirely. I don't know if you can give – do you have a team that you cheer for in the NFL?
Yeah, I listened to Cleveland Browns daily every single day for an entire year and a half because I wanted to learn about football.
Wow.
And I picked a team that sadly didn't teach me much about football. So, you know.
EJ can't even defend himself anymore, speaking of being a Brown fan. But you know what? Everyone on this panel has, you know, there's two people that have experienced championships. That's myself and Justin. Sorry, Scott, Connor, and EJ in terms of a championship. But nonetheless, it's a season that could be certainly unique. Scott, Justin, if you guys want to chime in on this, whoever wants to go first. Do you think players will be opting out? So like, look at Tardif with the Chiefs. He's continuing to work the front line and battle the virus and do the research because he's a doctor and obviously a Canadian. I think that's fantastic to see. But do you think players are going to opt out of playing because of what's going on?
I think a few probably will, and, you know, I can't blame them for what's going on. You know, they have to make the decision that's best for them and certainly their family, especially if they have relatives that have, you know, are more susceptible to the virus, underlying conditions, because, again, somebody perfectly healthy can carry this, don't know it, and spread it to other people. So I think you're going to see more kind of what the NBA has done with a few of the players there opting out. I don't think it's going to be a mass amount of people. I think, you know, maybe, you know, one or two per squad, if not a little bit more. I can't say I blame them, but I don't think it's going to be something that's going to overall affect the play, if you will, you know, if in fact the season does start.
Yeah, Justin, any thoughts?
No, I think if some players do choose to opt out, and I mean, Tardif says his decision. I mean, because he has the education to be a doctor, his statement pretty well cleared it up. He said, I'm better used here than I am playing football. So how do you argue with that? The guy's doing the right thing. I mean, if I was in the position, you're kind of torn. I mean, I would like to play in the NFL, but you have, if you're a doctor, you got to, that's what you do. That's kind of why you be a doctor. As far as I know, that's why I'm not one. I just play one on TV. but yeah, I think the players opting out, I believe it in my head, it's going to give some of these younger guys, which was a pretty good NFL draft this year, some opportunities. Yeah. Some players that might have not gotten a shot. Some players that got hosed by the XFL shutting down, which I thought was, you know, doing all right.
You love the XFL, and it's got it as well, too, eh?
My Tampa Bay Vipers were finally starting to win games, and then this goddamn virus just blows up the league.
Yeah, I had a cousin that was playing on the New York Guardians. As a matter of fact, the week that everything fell apart on the Monday show there in March, we interviewed him, and he was excited. He was getting playing time, and the league was doing okay, and then, bam, everything went to hell. So, yeah, certainly it was unfair for the XFL and the players because a lot of those guys worked hard to get there. And like Justin said, maybe a few of these guys now will get another shot that normally wouldn't.
Well, I mean, not to dwell on the XFL a little bit, but I mean, they had some cool stuff going on in that league. And I mean, we wouldn't have the Skycam in the NFL today if they didn't use it in the first iteration of the XFL. So, I mean, it's kind of a bummer to see it go, but maybe someone will buy it in bankruptcy proceedings. So, and it'd be good to have a developmental league for the NFL. That's for sure.
I'll say one thing. The Dallas Renegades. I think Connor knows why I like the Dallas Renegades.
Fantastic name.
It is. I wonder why. It's because of the Game Sports Show Renegades baseball team.
I miss you so much, Dave.
I miss you. Tell you. You know, and I actually haven't seen Scott yourself or Justin. So, like, guys, we would do a video here on Skype and tell listeners that with my tech abilities in terms of converting, you could just ask Scott this and even Alex Parr that, nah, we should just stick to keeping it simple.
No, yeah, I agree. It's a lot easier to edit. That's for sure.
But
I haven't had a haircut since January. I look like Krusty the Clown.
Actually, have you not cut your hair? Is that
no.
a fake?
No, and since I'm balding pretty bad, it's there's some pretty thick areas, and then there's a pretty clear runway patch. So,
love that. Okay, next show we got to do somewhere one of our beloved or missed, I guess, and missed locations. It's certainly time to start veering into there. And as I said, I have a little bit of an announcement at another show in terms of our adjustment with our new show on the Sioux, Ontario side as we get to more normalities. But we're still got one more topic, fellas, that we're going to jump into. It's Dave McKeag alongside Connor Henderson, Justin Heichel, and the one, the only Scott Nason. We had EJ Russell on. Then, of course, due to technical difficulties, especially when you're in Escanaba, Michigan, and potentially a Cleveland Browns fan. I guess if you're not Connor, you don't have this excuse. But if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, I guess the tech issues might be a little bit faulty over in Escanaba. But nonetheless, we had EJ on the show. So I want to say thanks to having EJ on. But we still have one more thing we want to jump into. And I love this. Okay. I am an individual who has done boxing, not in terms of actually was in a ring and played. Here I am talking. You can tell I'm a hockey player or this other sports guy. But boxing I did as a physical activity, just as a workout. I never did as a sport or a hobby in terms of fighting anybody else. But Mike Tyson is returning to the ring in an exhibition match, against Roy Jones Jr. Okay, when I think of this, I think of Rocky Balboa, the movie in 2006, I should say, when a retired Rocky Balboa comes back into the ring to have an exhibition charity match, okay, and it goes all the way to the final rounds. And I just feel like Mike Tyson, this guy is an animal still. This guy is returning to the ring. Have you seen this guy's workout videos going around the table with this, if you will, or should I say around the servers, if you will, because we're not all in face contact. Do you think that this is going to be a joke match, a good match? You got to know Mike Tyson's going to be taking it seriously. I'm going to go to Justin first.
I mean, I watched the video and it's terrifying. Like, I wouldn't mess with him. I mean, he's in good shape. He looks relatively healthy. I mean, yeah, you think with all his, you know, his left-handed cigarette business he's got going on there. He's probably not hard up for money, so it's not just a fight for money. Like, this is probably a fight because he wants to fight. I'm going to get the pay-per-view.
Yep. Yep. I think that you and I are going to have to sit down and watch this. I was certainly fascinated about UFC Island fight, just certain things. I think Mike Tyson, this guy, I don't know how the mentally he's going to be in terms of the mental health with fighting. I know as you age, just for talking to certain professionals that are in the sport, that, you know, once you are in the sport a long time, you take a lot of blows to the head. There's a lot of concern, right, about going forward. Let's look at the concussion concerns with CTE and everything that has been kind of, you know, an issue with that. I don't know if anything with mental health or mentally, if anything's going to affect Mike Tyson, but I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to jump into that as much as I pretend to be a doctor like Justin does. I just think Mike Tyson is going to be a guy that just goes into that ring and is still an absolute animal. Connor, how about your thoughts?
Well, we've seen it before in boxing when George Foreman became the oldest heavyweight champion at age 45, and he boxed till age 48. So if Mike Tyson, who sits at 54 right now, can throw hands like we've seen in those videos, and he's fighting another older fighter in Roy Jones Jr., this is hilarious. I love it. In the age of technicians in the boxing ring, like Vasily Lomachenko and Deontay Wilder, this is really interesting to see, and I'm really excited to see how it goes.
Mike Tyson, the animal, Scott Nason. What do you think?
I absolutely love this. During quarantine, my youngest son was working at the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out on the original NES and completed it. It took him a while, but he did it. And, you know, I'm a little older than you guys, and you got to go back to when Tyson was in his prime. I mean, this is when boxing, obviously, with Muhammad Ali before that, and in the 80s and early 90s, boxing was king. Mike Tyson was a beast. And when he lost to Buster Douglas, that was as shocking a sporting event as I can remember during my youth. Now, these guys are a little bit older, but, you know, it's something. I'm not one normally that buys pay-per-views at all, but I got to admit, this definitely strikes my fancy. Roy Jones Jr., not exactly a chump himself, a little bit younger, but, you know, you look at what he did in his career, it's fantastic. And so, you know what, Tyson, mid-50s, looking pretty dang good as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't mess with him. It's going to be a fun time. 8 rounds. Let's do this. I'm excited.
See, and I'll say right now, I was watching an older boxing match. It was Mike Tyson against Bruce Seldon was the fight. And obviously this fight was kind of, you know, obviously it's historic for various reasons, not just because of the fight, but that is the fight that was the same night that Tupac was killed in a drive-by shooting. And obviously legendary rapper Tupac Shakur was at that match. And when I was watching that fight, obviously it wasn't a fight that I don't even think it's one of Mike Tyson's best fights ever, but in terms of being an absolute animal, but there's a guy that, at the end of the day, when he was in the ring, there's a guy that beat, like, it was just an absolute animal in the corner, and was just a guy that was just tenacious, his energy. And when I watch those videos of him fighting, it's kind of a different stance than what he used to do, obviously, because when you're a bit younger, I know this now, just turning 29 this year in the next couple weeks, that I'm not the same way that I moved when I was 20, okay? You obviously, each year that goes by, your body ages, but Mike Tyson still looks like he's a guy that is fighting in his mid-30s, early 40s. And that's a great example that you brought up, Connor, with George Foreman, I believe, was if I remember the name correctly now that I'm thinking about it.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's that is kind of something that we may see. And he's also fighting somebody who is a bit older. It's not like he's fighting somebody who's 22, 23, who's the same weight, same size kind of fighter, because then I think that would be a little bit unfair. And yes, I'm saying because of the age, not saying that someone older is going to be weaker than someone younger. It's not the case at all. It's just a different kind of level than what he used to be. But overall, Mike Tyson, when I watch his older fights, as I watch on one of my cable boxes, there's a Mike Tyson channel with all of his fights on there, and the guy is such a freak. Okay, that is one of the best fighters. When people tell me that who would win a fight between him and Ali, I still say Ali. I don't know if anyone disagrees with me on that, but Mike Tyson is probably the most fiercest fighter that I have ever seen. Scott, any thoughts?
I mean, I'd take either one of them. I think Ali probably by a nose, but again, at that time period, there's a 5-6 year period where every time Tyson fought, you watched and you knew what the result was. So it's certainly going to be a lot of fun to watch Iron Mike. You know, I loved his announcement for this. He was smoking the stuff that's legal on your side, and I think it's legal over here. I don't know, but good stuff. Mike Tyson, always a good draw, and I think he'll get a good payday out of this as well.
The political stuff, things that are legal in Canada, not in the States. Canada is certainly doing great on the COVID side, but I know there's a lot of question when it comes to specific leadership, but we don't jump into that. But I don't even want to get into leadership in the United States. I don't even want to get started with that because that is a whole other show. Maybe we'll have to make a Game Entertainment and Media political podcast and talk about somebody who's running the ship overseas in the, or overseas, sorry, over the border, if you will, and even over here in Canada. But I know somebody who's in Ottawa right now that I want to give while we get to our conclusion portion here of the show. Connor, going to go to you first. You're right now, I believe you're still in Ottawa, or are you back home in the Sioux?
I've been quarantining in the Sioux since late March, so I've been home.
You've been home. So obviously yourself with the show, I was obviously very happy they're able to come on. We had a lot of us here on the panel tonight. I want to give you the floor at any final thoughts, opinions that you want to give. And even I'm going to go to Scott Nason's toolbox here with any thumbs down or thumbs up that you want to give in the world of sports or just in general in the world.
These are unprecedented times, and we're seeing unprecedented results. While sports is an escape, nothing in life is apolitical. So when we make decisions and when we cheer for our decision makers, especially in the world of sports, where we usually see it as an escape, we have to take a moment to reflect and say what is best for our country, what is best for our people. And I'd like to imagine that there's very brilliant people out there who are hopefully steering the wheel in the right direction. As for us, we can only sit back and smile and hope for a better day ahead. So it's good to have nights like this where we can sit down, talk, take our minds off it, and have a little fun.
Definitely. And Connor, I couldn't say thank you too much with all the patience that you've had, including everyone on the staff on the Game Sports Show on the Canadian side, as it's mostly just been myself and Brooksy doing a lot of special edition uploads. Brooksy, obviously a big part of those uploads in terms of getting us connected with a lot of guests that got us connected with even more guests. So Connor, I want to say, you know, it's been your first show for a little bit, but it's all good. We've worked things out. We're starting to get back to doing some routine shows here on the Canadian side. So once again, thank you very much. Justin, going to give you the same question, or basically the same floor that I gave Connor there. If you have any thoughts that you want to give world of sports, in the world in general, and in, even if you want to throw a thumbs up or thumbs down, whatever you'd like.
Well, you know, it's just nice to be back. That's you don't really know how much you miss just hanging out with the fellas and shooting the shit about sports until everything goes away for 4 months.
Yep.
So it's nice for everyone to be back. It's nice to hear that everyone's healthy and doing all right. And to be honest, it's nice to be looking forward to some, you know, some hockey games this weekend. Baseball this week, hockey coming up, NBA, I think Thursday or Friday night this week. So it's going to be nice to get back into that routine. You know, it's nice to have something else to talk about. That's for sure.
Definitely. It's definitely been a haul over here for our show on the Canadian side in terms of the content that we've been pushing on the news side, but we've definitely been putting a lot of content out. And speaking of that, yes, we've had a lot of special edition uploads you can check on the gamesportshow.com. But I got to give credit to Scott Nason, as I always do, as best I can, because if it wasn't for you, my friend, I don't believe I'd be sitting here despite the passion that I have with the show, how much we have grown. You, my friend, have done a show essentially every week with the ESPN 1400 edition. Also, shout out to Butch Davis, who has done his shows that you've sent over to me through that I've uploaded. Yes, I'm the guy who's uploading the shows on the websites. For some reason, I was given that trust or allowed to have that trust. But nonetheless, Scotty, I want to say thank you for coming on the show. It's been a while since you've been on the Canadian side. Anything coming up, obviously, for you? I know we have a plan for the Game Sports Show and the ESPN edition. Do you have any other thing on top of that, or anything you want to give in terms of the world of sports? Any thumbs up, thumbs down? You know the routine.
Well, first of all, it was really great to be on your show, Dave, and especially with Justin again and Connor for the first time. You have some great contributors, and it's nice to have, you know, differing opinions. And just like everyone said, just the fact that we're talking sports, you know, we've tried to do a show Monday night over the last, well, we've not tried, but we have done a show over the last few months, but it's been kind of frustrating because it feels like we were in the same rut. We were talking about what might be, and now we're talking about what is. And again, Connor made a good point talking about, you know, we still are in the middle of a pandemic. And so I would just, you know, just people just listen to the health experts and continue to do what they say is being done. I mean, here in the United States, we've lost over 146,000 people. I don't think enough people take that into consideration, seeing some of the actions around here and the lack of social distancing. But we're going to be doing a show tomorrow night as well. Dave, you're going to be on it for a bit along with EJ. Butch Davis will be at Comerica Park for the Tigers home opener, so he won't be on. But I got to give a thumbs up this week because it's been tough for sports and in general. It's also been tough to plan a wedding. And unfortunately, Dave, you're not going to be able to be there on Saturday night, but I'm going to be getting married on Saturday to my fiance, Becky. Very excited about that. A very much scaled down wedding and reception from 100 to about immediate family. But certainly I couldn't be happier. Very excited to be taking that step with her, and look forward to what's in store, and look forward to being on your show again and talking sports. And the final thought is, it's just great to see standings and box scores like we saw this weekend for Major League Baseball, and statistics and talking playoff matchups. It's been far too long. Let's hope we get through this. We will together, but we all have to unite. And I got to give a lot of credit to the Canada and your leadership and the people over there. You've certainly done a lot better job than us American yahoos that have not taken this as seriously. So thanks for having me on, Dave.
Definitely. Now, Scott, I think I speak on behalf of myself, my lovely girlfriend, Hannah, and as well as Connor and Justin. Yes, you guys are lovely as well. But overall, with the Game Sports Show staff, Scott, still congratulations on your wedding. Myself and Hannah are obviously, we are upset that we can't be there. It's definitely been a very different year with that, of course. But overall, I want you to know that myself, Hannah, and also the staff here on the game, that we are there in spirit. And obviously, once things are get back to being normal, if you will, whenever that may be, that we can connect because we are in two different countries, Canada and the United States, we will definitely get together and celebrate this great occasion that yourself and Becky are having. And very, very excited for the both of you. And congratulations once again, and very happy you're able to come on. And I want to say thank you again to EJ, who had the technical difficulties that did not come on the show. And just on the final thoughts on my end quickly, I won't expand on this too much because we already are about 16 minutes over time, and that's still 16 minutes too much, as we're trying to trim down the overall time. I'm trying to get the time management skills up, but overall we had some great content here, and it's all because of the great team that we have here on the Game Sports Show. And Jim, I know Connor and Justin, it's the first time that you've jumped on the show where we've had used that name, the Game Entertainment and Media. You're going to start hearing that a lot more, and that's a little shout out to the listeners. You're going to see in a lot of different areas. Also, for the shows that we have done, make sure you check out all the platforms that I said at the beginning of the show: Spotify, Apple, Podbean, Podtail, Facebook, Instagram, thegamesportsshow.com. Obviously, all of the shows are on there. If you have any issues, you can reach out. In terms of final thought for sports, very excited to have sports back. Very anxious to watch hockey, to be honest. Obviously, that's me saying that. And Justin, I know you and I, and amongst a few of our friends, will probably be enjoying, while social distancing, a couple Toronto Maple Leaf games in particular. It's just great to see it back in action and get all the crew back together here overall. And just, I want to say one more thank you. My thumbs up for the week, just overall in general, is to all the listeners and viewers, and the amount of likes and follows and subscribes that we have been getting in terms of social media, in particular on Facebook, have been unbelievable. With all these special edition uploads, especially that we've been able to plug out with the great guests that we've had, like Bruce Boudreaux, Trevor Gillies, Steve McIntyre, and the big additions that we still have coming out, myself and Brooksy and also Parr have done a lot of recordings, and also Scott would be involved in some as well, that we've done, that have put on our banks to plug out soon. Very excited to get those out. So make sure that you follow it. If you haven't yet, share it. We love the sharing. We love to get everyone connected to have this content because we have such an amazing team here on the Game Sports Show and Gem, and just the content that we plug out, I think overall is just fantastic. So no bias there, but I just speak the truth. That is what my motto is. So overall, again, thanks to Scott, to Justin, to Connor, and also to EJ Russell. And as I say that, getting to the conclusion portion of our show, I want to remind everyone out there to ensure that they stay safe and as well that they follow the rules. You know, Scott touched on this already, and it's just the same here as it is in the United States and Canada. Just make sure that you follow the rules and keep yourself safe. I'm here to remind you to keep your stick on the ice, swing your bat, catch a touchdown, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.
You have been listening to the Game Sports Show. This news edition has been powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Remember to hit follow, like, and subscribe on all content of the game that you can be directed to through our website, thegamesportshow.com. On behalf of Gem and the game, we appreciate your support and thanks for tuning in.